Welcome to North State Give and Take. My name is Bobby Tryon, and this show is about nonprofits here in our region in Northern California. Today, I'm going to interview Alex Beener from the Boys and Girls Club here in Chico, and I'd like to welcome Alex. Hi.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks for having me today.
Sure. We've been looking forward to this, you and I have.
We have, yeah. Lost some sleep this weekend, you know.
Did you? Thinking about it. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Good way.
I like to let people begin themselves because they know more about their organization and what they do. So I'm going to let you tell me, first of all, what you do and a little bit about what's happening there at the Boys and Girls Club.
Well, as I said a little bit earlier, I'm the Marketing and Community Engagement Director. So essentially, I am in resource development and fundraising, reaching out to folks in our community and beyond to bring in resources to help us fund our programs and the services we have for our kids and families here. For Boys and Girls Club, we started way back in 1995, so we're actually celebrating our 25th year anniversary this year and have been sharing that with the community and celebrating the success that we've had for the last 25 years of taking care of our families. Typically, in a normal year, pre-COVID, I like to say we served over 2,000 kids, individual kids a year. Even with COVID, we've actually been open since last June and serving 1,200 kids. So we are at lower capacity. But I think the important part is that we're open for the kids that need us, and we're providing those services that they're not receiving now that school's out and not in person. So, you know, I just feel like that's the important part for us is that we've been open and providing those services. Kind of as a whole, we focus on after-school care, obviously, to meet learning gaps for kids and youth and provide opportunities for them to maybe experience things they wouldn't have outside of our programs and our clubs. For example, we did a construction program a few weeks ago. Even with COVID and lockdowns, we did in-person instruction with construction industry professionals. So our teams were able to meet with them and connect and learn how to build a cornhole set, if you're familiar with the game. Mm-hmm. So they spend a day of the week learning how to do a skill and then the next day applying that. So that's sort of a quick example of what we do, you know, in-person learning from folks, mentorship. And then obviously some of those kids may not have thought about that in their life or being a part of it. And by the end of the camp, all those kids were excited or realizing maybe there's an alternative to education and going to a trade school because a lot of their families maybe didn't attend trade school or, you know, college. So those kids haven't seen that as an opportunity for them in their future. So exposing them to those opportunities is what we do and helping them realize that that cycle can be broken and they can be who they want and realize their potential and really realize what they want to be and they can get to those goals and accomplish that. So
that's a lot to offer to this world and a good thing to offer for sure. I know that whole little campus that you have now, where is that? It's between, what is it?
6th and 7th. So the Rotary Plaza, if you're familiar, it's 601 Wall Street, but the Rotary, Chico Rotary, I think it was Noon Rotary, don't quote me on that, but they gifted us that plaza years ago. This is before my time, and so it actually helps connect our Chico clubhouse, which is where I'm at right now, and it connects across the way to our teen center. So it actually, and then across the way, I don't know if you're familiar, but we expanded our Chico campus 2 years ago, almost to the day, with our Chico Phoenix Club in response to what happened with the campfire in 2018, and having all the displaced youth come down to Chico from the Ridge. And actually, people don't know this, but the Paradise Ridge was our largest community with our most sites and our most kids served prior to the fire. So when the fire happened, it was obviously a priority for us to make sure those kids were taken care of. But unfortunately, our waiting list was in the 300s at the time. And so we realized that something needed to happen in order to help us take care of those kids. And so we opened up our Chico Phoenix Club, kind of with a five-year plan to assess the needs as we go with those families. And it allowed us to open up 150 new memberships for kids and allow those Paradise kids to come in our doors. And we actually serve what you call, I guess, a campfire survivor family or kid at every site. So we are in Chico, Hamilton, Oroville, Paradise, and Magalia, and currently open in all those communities.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Yeah, we're Butte and Glenn County.
How do people find you and be able to come? How did the kids get hooked up?
That's the tough part, actually. Most of our sites are currently have waiting lists, so it is difficult for families to get our services because we don't have the space or the funding in a lot of those communities. And so our waiting list is, I would say, in 300 range currently. So there are a lot of kids and a lot of families that unfortunately can't get our services due to some of those restrictions. Like I said, space and funding causes those issues. We do have structures to where if there's foster youth, we're able to get them in our doors and work with those families and the agencies that are involved in order to get the foster youth into our doors and have a safe place for them to be. Mm-hmm. Away from kind of the chaos of what their life currently looks like. So there is some flexibility, but you know, it's mostly for at-risk youth that are in special situations.
Can anyone get on the list?
Yeah, anyone can get on the list. Yeah. So, okay. You know, we pride ourselves in serving kids of, you know, all walks of life. Obviously there's kids that need us more than others, but shut the door or turn down any family that is interested in our services and needs us.
Uh-huh. You called it a camp. So is it done in such a way that there's like a camp period time, or is it just ongoing every day?
We're every day. We're Monday through Friday. Pre-COVID, we were purely an after school. So we did 2 to 6 p.m. Since COVID's happened, we've had to kind of adjust our families. So when the pandemic started, we actually got on the phone and reached out to all of our families and made phone calls to see what services they felt like they would need from us and where can we best help our families. And that's really what our organization is strong at, is having those connections with our families and understanding where their needs are and how we can fill those gaps that they need. So when it started, they recognized that we needed to be open longer and just really open so they could drop their kids off, you know, pre-work or come get them post-work and have that opportunity. So it did change a little bit. So we've actually expanded our hours. So it's been a whirlwind. COVID's changed a lot. You know, we always say we're not going to change what we do, but we're going to change how we do it.
Yes.
You know, and just be adaptive and realizing the needs of our families and how we can fill those needs. So if it was us being open longer, then that's what we had to do.
So you have a pretty strong relationship with individual families and kind of know all the kids and know the families.
We do, yeah. Me personally, I'm kind of out of that loop, being on the backside of everything, but our staff and our coordinators, that's what they enjoy. They enjoy building those relationships and can tell you all the stories about all the kids out there and what they're going through and connecting, because we are a resource for these families. And there's countless families that rely on us as their main resource, because we do counseling for both kids and families and provide those resources through Victor Treatment Center. We do a lot of trauma-informed care. Obviously, since the campfire, there's been a lot of that in our community. So we pride ourselves in being a trauma-informed care agency so that we can provide that extra level of care for our kids and our families.
Wow, that's a lot of kid entertaining.
It is. If anybody has kids, which you do, you know how hard that can be. We have 150 of them running around in here.
Right.
You know, get a bit out of hand. But our staff handles it well and takes those opportunities to teach the kids sort of what they should be doing if they're not doing it right and helping them along.
Sure. You've got a pretty big staff.
We do, about 80 to 90 youth development professionals and admin team. You know, obviously with 2,000 kids and their families, it's a lot of work that's required and a lot of support from the community, which we probably will get into. It's required and helps us make it happen.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, a big team, but you know, being part of Boys and Girls Club of America, they provide a lot of that training. Mm-hmm. and really incorporate a lot of that into our staff development as well.
So there is a Boys and Girls Club of America, and
there
then
is.
And then communities have their individual, what do you call them?
I like to call them franchisee model. You know, that'd be kind of like you have the big corporate and then you have
right.
the little ones.
But
what's neat about the structure is we're self-sustaining.
Yes.
So we get maybe a percentage a year of our annual budget from Boys and Girls Club of America. Just 1%.
1%.
1% of our funding comes from Boys and Girls Club of America. And that's where a lot of that disconnect with our community comes in. As of late, I think people are starting to realize how important we are locally and get the story behind us. But in years past, there was an issue of, oh, you must be large corporate driven because it's Boys and Girls Club of America. I see Shaquille O'Neal and Denzel and Jennifer Lopez on the billboards, you know, that wasn't us. So I think the community is now starting to realize that we are local driven, we're community supported, yeah. And that they can help. And when they do help us, it's helping local kids. It's not helping kids all across the U.S., which is great to do. But a lot of people like to see that impact made right in here in their community. And so I think a lot of people are starting to come around to that and realize that their support here is helping a kid they may see walking down the street or, you know, a peer of their own kids. Got supporting it. That family.
Uh-huh. Does the county support you? Do you get
some? They do, yeah. And then we're actually the after-school provider for Paradise Unified as well. So we are the go-to after-school provider for Paradise Unified. And then recently in Hamilton Elementary School took over their after-school program, I'd say about 4 years ago, and have actually tripled the amount of kids served there, as well as adding a food bank among all of the other programs that we offer. So
financially, do you get enough money? Do you raise money? Do you have people that donate regularly?
You're asking the fundraiser if we have enough money. The money's always good. The answer to that's always going to be no, we don't have enough money, because that's just how it always is. And like I mentioned, our waiting list is 300. So having more funds would allow us to do a lot more realistically. But we are supported. I don't want to say it the wrong way. You know, like I said, you're asking a fundraiser that. So that's always going to be the answer. But we are really supported by our community here. I'd say anywhere between 30 and 40% of our annual revenue is generated from folks here in our community, which a lot of organizations around the country and the world can't say that about their community. You know, so we feel appreciated and we feel valued by our community. When we see those donations come in, or when folks like you reach out and want to hear about us and get engaged with our organization and see what we're really doing for kids and their families here.
Yeah. How does one connect with you? Is it something that you can donate a monthly donation? Is that probably one of the best ways, I bet?
It is for us, yeah. So folks can go on our webpage and go to bgcnv.org.
Say it slowly.
bgcnv.org. So okay. BGCNV.
Okay.
Yeah, so the acronym Boys Girls Club North Valley.
Okay.
.org. And if they want to go straight to our donation page, that can be /donate. And they can head right to our donation page, or, you know, obviously welcome to go to our webpage and click around and see what our services are and what we do for kids. If they're interested, can make a donation, and they can make it a one time, they can make it a recurring, they can do it once a year. Uh-huh. And do it that way. And we do PayPal, credit card, you know, you can obviously write us a check, you know, bring in cash. We're open to all those avenues of donating. So, you know, there's opportunities there for folks if they're interested in giving back, or if, you know, if it's easier and you have something on Facebook, we have a Facebook page and they can donate directly on there. Facebook is great in that aspect of they don't take any percentage of donations made through their platform. So folks are just on our Facebook page, which is a great place to see what we're up to. We do a lot of posts and a lot of pictures of the impact and the programs and our staff working with kids and families, and they can make a donation there if they're interested.
I see a lot of businesses and organizations here in town that do participate in, I think, I wouldn't say donating to Boys and Girls Club, but certainly supportive of the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that. We had Junk King, which is a kind of a corporate-driven, they're sort of our model. So they have a big overarching corporate, but then they have their local agencies. They did something for us over the holidays, and then I gave them a tour, you know, just to see what our buildings look like and what the kids are up to today. And they realized, like you're starting to today, of how much we do for kids and families. And so they went back and met as a team and a family and realized they wanted to do a little bit more. So they actually, throughout the whole month of March, have been asking their clients and folks in the community to donate to Boys and Girls Club to support our mission. And then they were matching up to $1,000 of that. And then it culminated in a raffle at Secret Trail Brewing Company last Friday. And we raised, I would say, in upwards of $1,000 that day to support our mission. And so just folks like that, you know, engaging with us and realizing that they can support us in a unique way and ask their clients and their supporters to give back to us. Uh-huh. And so it was a lot of fun. Again, it was hosted at Secret Trail, and they're supporters of ours as well. Secret Trail donated 10% of all their beer sales to us that day. And then I think they're called Road Roasters Coffee Company. They're out at the Saturday market, and they donated 10% of their Saturday sales to us as well. And all that stemmed from Junk King and reaching out and connecting all those groups.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's pretty impactful for us, and it seems so simple for folks to think that way, but a lot of folks don't, you know, or they don't realize that's a way they can get involved.
back to our interview with Alex Biener from the Boys and Girls Club, North State Give and Take on 90.1 FM KZFR.
I can see how it's not hard for you to sell the Boys and Girls Clubs because you've got passion for it and it's something to have passion for.
Yeah. You know, I hear that a lot. It's funny to me because I was in sales and I won't get into where I work, but it's hard to sell something you're not passionate about. Yes. And if those folks that hired me, I'm sorry if you're out there listening to this. But I see the work we do every day here and I see the impact. And I have testimonial videos, if you want me to email those to you, of our families looking in the camera and just telling us how much we've meant to them. Two of those being campfire families that have, you know, we've gotten help pay bills for them, engage their kids with our programs, and it's changed the way they interact with their kids at home. You know, one dad's in, like I mentioned, our construction camp earlier, he's a hands-on kind of guy. His kids necessarily aren't, and they're both adopted sons. And so, you know, that relationship's a little bit different for their family. And he always tried to engage them in some sort of construction project or help me with the electric or these tiles. And the kids, he said, that would be into it for 5 minutes. And then by the time he gave actual instruction, they would just go upstairs. And he said, once the construction program started and ended, the kids were asking him, how are you doing that? You know, and listening and looking over his shoulder on how to fix the light switch or put the fan in. And he said that was just a night and day difference from just a few weeks ago where the kids weren't interested in anything he was doing. To the point where he said a couple days ago, the kids came home and he said, our project this weekend is going to be tearing out the kitchen tile. And the kids didn't even wait for the weekend. They just started tearing out the tile in the kitchen Friday night. And he said they worked for 4 hours, both of them together, tearing out the tile. So by Saturday, they were already done and they were ready to put it all in. You know, those little stories, if we can change the life of one kid or family, I think it's making a difference. Oh, you know, yeah. And those kids are local and they're going to become citizens of our community, you know, and leaders here locally, and hopefully raise their family and improve their lives as well. To me, it's about breaking that cycle for our youth. Mm-hmm. Again, I mentioned it earlier of families. As a kid, you see what your parents do and you think that's maybe my potential, or, you know, that's as far as I can go. But us helping them realize that if your parents aren't in those great situations, that you can do more, you can be more, you can give back to your community, you can get involved, you can go above and beyond where they are in life and break that cycle, you know, the cycle of poverty, you know, for lack of a better term. But it's realizing those opportunities are there for you and that you are a valued member and a valued person, and that you can see that in yourself and help yourself grow beyond, you know, where you may think you can go.
How do you choose the projects?
So that's also ties into the community partnerships. So a lot of times we're fortunate enough, I mentioned the construction camp, it's actually BCOE, their career tech CTE program, and Valley Contractors Exchange reach out to us directly. They said they searched for weeks to find a partner and nobody was willing to adapt and be flexible and do in person. For us, we're hands-on. We want to make things happen for our kids, and if there's barriers, let's find a way around it. And so when they reached out to us within a week and a half, I was talking to the director. She said within a week and a half of talking to us, we were ready to go and had the whole thing planned out and we were on board. You know, so we have two amazing site directors with a lot of experience working with kids. We have one site director with our elementary age and one being a teen service director. And so they're always seeking opportunities and connecting with our kids. And then we have directors at all of our sites as well, who are kind of on the floor and connecting with kids and families and can kind of assess those needs and see how our kids are struggling with this. Can we bring in somebody? You know, and so we're looking at right now bringing in a kind of a mentorship coach to talk about sportsmanship and life in terms of sports with our teens here in Chico and Oroville. And so connecting kids that way with people. And again, that takes folks in the community willing to take their time to come talk to our kids, you know, and spend their time here and be a mentor for some kids here in our clubs. And so, like I said, we're fortunate to have those people that do reach out to us, or when we reach out, they pick up the phone and are more than willing to come here in our clubs and meet with our kids and talk to them about their lives. And that was a big part of the construction camp. We had, I think, 3 or 4 industry professionals actually do a panel where they talk to their kids about how they got into construction, what their life looks like now, and kind of their journey. So those kids can and kind of connect with them on a different level than here's a PowerPoint, you know, here's point A through C, and, you know, versus here's who I am, here's how I got where I am, and let's connect on a deeper level and provide those opportunities for our kids. So we're fortunate that there's folks in our community that think that way. And we've started to see over the years that more and more people are reaching out to us and wanting to help.
And if someone wanted to do that after listening to us, you know, even a nurse or somebody in the community that might want to come in and talk about it, just like one day to talk to kids, anything like that, are you interested in us?
Yeah, that's always welcome. Yeah, obviously with COVID, there's certain restrictions and we'll check temp and we'll have to do things a little more distance. But if they're interested, yeah, they can just reach out to us at our phone number, you know, and get a hold of me and I can connect them with our HR director who does a lot of the volunteer engagement. And we can get them connected. So our phone number is 530-899-0335.
Okay.
And they could just ask for me, you know, and just think of an opportunity if they want to just come in and talk to our kids. We've had folks from Butte Environmental Council come talk to our kids about composting and recycling and that whole process. And,
yeah,
you know, and just providing, again, I mentioned earlier, but those opportunities for our kids. Some kid may not be into recycling, but at the end of it, wow, you use worms to compost this and that. And that may be something he does, you know, to make a living later on in his life, just from that one program that our staff ran, you know?
Yeah. I can see that if anybody's interested at all, if they give you a call, then you guys can figure out something that might be good. I can tell that you have a good idea about what kids might be interested in.
Yeah, we have a great relationship with our kids and our families. We know the needs. We know how to address those needs. And I mentioned earlier, we continue to adapt.
Yes.
And fill those needs. And if it means changing up a program, to fit the kids that are in that club or that program, then that's what we do.
Yeah.
And that's what's unique about Boys and Girls Club is a lot of us, a lot of programs, they stick to, here's our five programs that we run annually with us. If a staff isn't into art, then they're not going to run our art program. So they bring in their own program of basketball, or they do some yoga, or they bring in their own program. Like I mentioned, the composting with the Environmental Council, that's a group up in Paradise. So Paradise Intermediate School. And so their kids were into that. And the staff is into that. And so that's them sharing their passion with our kids. Yeah. And so the kids can feel the passion of our staff. They're not, oh, we're just running this program because it's on a checkbox. You know, it's what the staff was into. They're into recycling and environmentalism. So they're bringing that into their club.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so unique about Boys and Girls Club is the person running that program cares about that program.
Yeah.
So they may have more knowledge of it, and they may be able to answer those funny questions that kids are going to ask and be able to connect with, you know, just on a different level. And the kids feel like they get to know our staff because they are sharing a little bit about them, you know?
Well, and kids know when you've got passion.
You can tell they're bored or they're disengaged if you're not engaged or if you're not with them, they're not with you. And so our staff do a great job of connecting with those kids on those deeper levels and it helps them build those relationships. So when a kid's struggling or a kid needs some extra support, they know our staff are there for them because they can feel that extra level of relationship with our staff and understand they're there for them, whether it's a good day or a bad day. You know?
So have you got some kids that have been there for years and years?
We do. And I've been here 5 years now. So for me, I'm starting to see the kids grow up a little bit. A lot of our staff here, they've been here over a decade.
Yeah.
So they've actually seen some of our kids start and now they're getting to be graduates at our teen center.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine how that makes them feel when I see just some of these little kids go into our teen centers.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have a lot of kids that are here pretty much through age 5 through 18, you know, and it's fun to see their growth. It's fun to see them maybe not wanting to be here. And then all of a sudden they're involved in every program they can find. You know, they're everything that we run, they're there, or they're becoming leaders within our clubs. We do leadership programs. We have a Keystone program and Torch Club, depending on your age groups. And that is all about kids meeting as a team and working on leadership skills and talking about how they can become better people and leaders in our community. So it's fun to see that growth within our kids.
And are the boys and girls together?
They are. Yeah. So what's unique about that too is we'll run programs that allow them to separate. So we have Passport to Manhood and then we have Smart Girls. So those are obviously just for the boys or just for the girls. And it allows them to have conversations with their peers about those questions that you can't talk to about in front of everybody.
Right.
You know, some of those more personal boy girl questions that they can answer and help them kind of understand as they're getting older what's happening. hormonally and within life and dealing with family and just being a different gender, allowing them to really connect with their peers, you know, in a more safe space.
Now, you told me at the beginning, 2,000 kids, but now this year with COVID, it's to 1,200.
Yeah, and that's just due to restrictions with space, obviously keeping everything distanced and keeping everything within those guidelines that are provided by our county. What's pretty neat, though, is we, even through the pandemic, like I said, last summer, we were open. You know, obviously, kids wearing distance and hand sanitizer, and we've been fortunate to have groups in the community donate sanitizer or donate water hand washing stations to allow us to do those services. But we've been open in person since June of last year. And there's Boys and Girls Clubs across the country that some of them haven't even opened yet, you know, since March of last year. So for us to be open, I think says a lot about our team and our I guess our passion to make sure that we're here for the kids that need us. You know, you'll see the hand sanitizer right in the door as you walk in with the hand washing station. The kids have to do one or the other. And then we implemented a cohort system. So the kids stay in groups of 10. Mm-hmm. So that way, if there is those issues, which again, we haven't had one, we know and we can do more of that contact tracing easily because they've been with the same 9 other kids.
Uh-huh. So did some of the kids, some kids just couldn't come when you had to make the program a little smaller? Is that kind of what
happened? Correct. Yeah. So capacity dropped. And so again, we have great relationships with our family and our kids. So we kind of knew maybe who could really use that. Some kids that are really in bad situations. And, you know, as sad as it is, I know every kid needs help, but there's some that are in worse off situations than others. And so for us, it's as an organization having to look at that and assess that, you know, because we're a resource for the kids. So just to say, sorry, we're closed isn't an option. Yeah. For us, we are here. We're here for you regardless of what's happening in your life and in the world, for that matter, with the whole pandemic that's still going on. So making sure that we were there for our kids was priority number one for us.
All right, Alex, thanks a lot.
Yeah, have a great day. Thank you again.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You've just heard a pre-recorded interview with Alex Beener from the Boys and Girls Club on North State Give and Take on KZFR 90.1 FM. Come back next week at 6 p.m. for an interview with Alan Hawthorne from the Friends of Butte Creek.